This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is a correct reaction. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The fourth, the final, the best, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, 60 more minutes of the most electrifying sports talk entertainment you're going to find anywhere at any time, except maybe BetMGM Tonight, which airs from 7 to 11 p.m. every single weekday right here on this and fine Odyssey stations nationwide. That show is produced, directed, choreographed, and stunts performed by the executive producer of that show. He is a friend on and off the air. We call him hating ass Mario. Mario Heron from the BetMGM Network joins us here on the show. What's up, fella?
Happy, happy birthday. The big 3-0. It's never looked better.
Yeah, I agree.
You got a 30, golf club now.
30 looks good on me.
Yeah, you're in a college shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like you're just life's turning around.
Yeah, I thought finally at
right,
30,
will,
life's turning
I
around.
I will not allow this to happen. It's 40, it's not 30. And you are a member of the AARP nation along with me now. 30 you wouldn't be, but 40 you are. And the degradation has started. He's grunting a little more when he's sitting down. He became very organized this morning.
I went out, just suddenly
everything put in its place. It was really weird.
The Madre came into town to surprise me for the birthday yesterday, and we went out to dinner last night, Mario, and I'm only saying this because I know you'll laugh at it. We sat down. We had a lovely dinner. We went to leave. We stood up to leave, and as I stood up, the mom's like, uh-oh, and I went, uh-oh, what? And she said, you had to do the thing to stand up where I had to put both hands on my thighs and push myself up off of myself to stand up. And not only did that, but on the way up went, ugh, as I stood up. And she's like, is that the first time you've done that? I was like, I haven't noticed it yet. And the wife goes, no, it is. So it's just, it's all downhill from here, buddy. It's all, we had a good run. Everything was great. I am now officially closer to death than birth. That's what I've decided.
Oh, no, you're not closer to death than birth.
No, he is.
Like halfway.
He is. According to expectancy, which I believe we checked was
77 and a half now.
Yeah.
So, and on the way down.
Yeah, he's definitely on the other side.
It's on the way down.
Yeah. We are, I believe, if I recall correctly, the only first world country with a declining natural life expectancy now. We're doing great. Everybody's awesome, and I'm now closer to that than being born.
See, I can already see the end zone. So, I mean, at least you're not that far.
Lonzo putting the end in end zone.
I'm always here for it in the end zone, though.
Hey, Nass Mario joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Hey, speaking of closer to the end of the beginning, where's Aaron Rodgers going to be? Is he going to be one of them LA Rams at the end of the year? Does he complete the Brett Favre imitation tour and end up in Minnesota? Or does the league decide maybe we're done with this cat?
I hope someone decides that we're done with him. And the Rams, too. We were talking about this last night on Ben and Jim tonight with Brad Evans and Ryan Horvath, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern on the BetMGM Network. It doesn't make sense for the Rams to just get off Stafford. You were the closest team to take out the Super Bowl champs this year. Why are you going to go into next year taking away the QB that got you there? That's also when you were Super Bowl, especially at his age where it looks like he has a lot left in the tank. And let's be honest, at this point in his career, not overall, but at this point in his career, he is a lot better than Aaron Rodgers, and he comes with a lot less drama. Matthew Stafford doesn't go on ESPN once a week and say some crazy stuff on the biggest show in sports media.
That's true, but wait a minute. I'm going to push back a bit. Kelly Stafford has a pod, and when they let Cooper Kupp walk a couple of weeks ago, she caused some bleep on her pod going out there. I honestly think it's not Matt that's going on the McAfee show talking smack, but I think his wife has created a little bit of baggage there, and I wonder if that's playing into it a little bit.
Counter to that, though, when that whole thing happened, what was the news cycle that week? It was pretty dead, right?
Sure.
Anything catches. Especially in football.
I just want to point out for all the people who, like you guys, who are anti-Aaron Rodgers guys, there's a lot of people out there who are pro-Aaron Rodgers guys.
No, you're missing the point. So, it ain't about the takes on the McAfee pod. It's that he's not good at football anymore.
And it's do you want all this baggage that comes with Rodgers?
Yeah.
Do you want it as soon as I get him, I have to sign Davante Adams if he's a good player, but if I don't sign him, I'm already off to a bad foot. Are you already going to have a little pity party for yourself come training camp? I don't want to have to deal with all that stuff.
It's fair.
And he's old.
And he's
what hit?
So
what hit? He could be down.
So if he does get signed and brings along Devontae and wins the Super Bowl, will you come back on here and apologize, both of you?
Sure, but what were the Jets?
Because I will remember.
But
I just want you to know that.
I'll go with your line of thinking. What was the Jets' record the last 2 years? Because I'm pretty sure they didn't go to a Super Bowl, and they had Devontae.
Yeah, Lonzo, like, if I...
Yeah, the only people that go to Super Bowls are Kansas City and then somebody else. You know, a very few other people.
What's more likely, Aaron Rodgers goes to the Rams and win a Super Bowl, or I start dating Sydney Sweeney? Like, let's just be honest here.
I'm trying to think age range as far as Sydney Sweeney goes.
Well, Mario's
my age.
Mario's in the age range.
I was going to say, you got a good possibility of doing that.
Look at this half-assed dollar store
I think you got a chance.
Okay.
You look like Justin Bieber, but before the bad tattoos.
That's, yeah, okay. That's not a bad one.
You're not even pushing back about that.
Bieber's done pretty well for himself, so
it's
I don't know.
That's true.
I think that went back right at you. At 40, you gotta stay sharper.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do.
You gotta take some lions, man. Wow. You gotta stay sharper than the dome.
I'm all right, buddy. I'm all right.
I got a guy.
Hey, I'm hosting your show 3 days next week, pal. You might want to slow your roll just a bit, is all I'm saying. All right?
Next thing you know, Rob's doing Total Tea commercials.
Me and the big hurt Frank Thomas, baby.
And she'll like it, too.
Hating
so
ass. Oh, yeah, I like that. That's getting pulled. Pulled for a clip. Hayden Ass Mario joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Sam Darnold is, I think, probably the other big linchpin in this whole quarterback carousel we're waiting on. If I'm Minnesota, I'm definitely moving on. I think if there's one lesson to take away from the Vikings last year, the last 2 years with Kirk Cousins as well, it is they built a good enough team that team can drag average quarterbacks to good quarterbacks to great. Now I just got to find a great quarterback to carry me to Super Bowl levels. I love the culture Minnesota's built. I love the offense they've built. I love the skill set weaponry they've put around a guy. They got to go find a guy. And how anybody thinks Sam Darnold is that guy after the end of last year, I don't get it. Somebody's going to get talked into doing what Atlanta did with Kirk Cousins and overpaying Sam Darnold. It's not going to be San Francisco. It looks like they've opened up their negotiations with Brock Purdy, who I feel the exact same way about Brock Purdy as I do Sam Darnold. Does Sam Darnold have a QB1 landing spot somewhere next year, or does Minnesota decide run it back one more time and let J.J. McCarthy have another year to get ready?
He is recovering from a pretty major injury, so it wouldn't surprise me if they bring him back and go, we'll run it back one more year. They don't want to rush J.J. They don't have to, right? That division is insanely tough. It's only going to get tougher, so why rush him back when you have to face the Bears with a new improved head coach, the Packers with a pretty good defense, and then on top of that, you have to face the Detroit Lions, who are a pretty stacked team as well. And you really want to rush a young QB, ride it all into that, who, let's be honest, of all the QBs in that class, was probably the least amount of talent out of all of them. I don't know if I really want to do that right away. I think it makes more sense to kind of maybe just franchise tag and do one more year with Sam Darnold in Minnesota. If it's not Minnesota, I see a lot of teams maybe just taking the ride because of this weak draft class. We haven't heard one positive thing about Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. We've had three draft people on our show, and every draft guy that we've had on, I've left going, oh, I think a little bit less of this QB class. So if you're the Giants, for example, maybe Sam Darnold's your bridge guy, and Brian Daboll and Joe, they need a playoff runner. Their owner's literally going to come in there and say, pack up the things, fellas. It's time to leave.
Yes, as we all know, the Giants ownership has just been an absolute beacon of responsible ownership over the past couple of years. Saquon says hi, by the way.
But he is fed up. Like, he's made that very clear in press conferences. He's very fed up.
Okay, and I'm real dedicated to making the NBA. It doesn't mean I'm capable of it.
That's a fair point. That being said, though, let's not talk too much crap about our boy Joe. Guess where he went to college?
He let Saquon walk.
And he's a great DePaul alum, baby. Shout out to Green Castle, Indiana.
I don't care if he is my brother. That's a terrible, terrible decision. Like, that, it's not just that it's a terrible decision. Because I think we as fans, I will acknowledge, we as fans love to make judgments about decisions in hindsight and not hold ourselves accountable for agreeing or disagreeing with the decision in process. But the day Saquon walked, I was like, yo, G-Man are going to live to regret this. Like, that's the most obvious bleep up in years.
Okay, but how good would Saquon be on that crappy Giants team? How good?
Really? He was good before they let him go.
No, but
he wasn't the problem.
What would that get you? That's my point with letting Saquon go. The Giants, where I get it. We're like, you weren't talented anyways. You weren't good, a good football team. What would having an insanely good running back really like do for you? You're going to make the playoffs now? You didn't really compete for a Super Bowl? No, you wouldn't do anything. Daniel Jones is still a quarterback that's going to set you back, and he did. Mike Neighbors was crying because he didn't get the football enough. Your defense is still a couple seasons away from being very, very legit. Like, that team wasn't going anywhere with Saquon. You might as well let him go.
That's actually fair. Yeah. That's actually a good point. I'm actually going to give a point to Mario on that one. Congrats. It took you 5 years. I'm going to give you a point on that one. All right. That's unnecessary, and we all know it. Hey, Nas, Mario Herron from the BetMGM Network joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. There is one more NFL wild card out there that I did not expect, but I'm also kind of, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh, this could make it interesting. Apparently, Tommy Brady has been taking some fellas out to dinner and asking if anybody's interested in coming to the Las Vegas Raiders, including Matt Stafford. And while if anybody else was doing that for the Raiders, I'd be like, dude, I'd be more influenced to be a Raider by Cody Decker than I would by, you know, Michael, whatever his name is out there, Owl's kid, whatever. But if Tom Brady calls you and asks you to dinner and says, hey, I want you to be a Raider, I'm a little more interested. The Raiders might end up being an interesting little wild card in all of this.
First off, I don't believe for a second we just randomly ran into each other. And they're like, hey, let's get dinner. Come to my place in Montana. Sure. All right. Nice. Yeah, I bet. Second, look, Tom Brady's probably very persuasive, and I understand it. That's the greatest quarterback of all time, and I guarantee you in a conversation you have with him taking over as a majority owner of the Raiders, he probably has a very solid plan, and he has his guys in place. Pete Carroll's a good coach, that GM. Let's see what happens. All that being said, if I'm Matthew Stafford, why the hell would I go there? Oh, hey, by the way, here's Patrick Mahomes twice a year. Oh, by the way, here's Sean Payton twice a year. Hey, one more thing. Go face Jim Harbaugh twice a year. Yeah. You know, we got a really good tight end, but besides that, we don't got a receiving core. We got a really good defensive edge guy. Very, very good. What do you have outside of that? I'll wait. Absolutely not.
It's not unfair. It's not unfair. I just think if Tommy B says, come up, I'm going to cook up some elk steaks on my ranch in Montana, and he says, Matt Stafford, if you sign on with me, I will guarantee you that I am going to be out there advocating for free agents to come to Vegas. Even though Tom Brady's not an active football player anymore, he's the type of dude that's going to have, I think, more sway in attracting free agents than Al Davis's kid will. I'm not saying right now anything's going to happen. I'm saying that if there's a wild card out there that could make it interesting for no good reason, it's Brady and the Raiders.
It is. But if you're a Raiders fan, do you really want that? Like, are you really building towards your future, or are you going for a 2-year run, 3-year run? Because if you get Stafford and you have Pete Carroll, that's not a long-term head coach, and that's not a long-term quarterback. What are you going for win now right now? Why are you doing that? That makes zero sense. Why not just try to build something and not try to quickly buy your way to the top?
How long they've been trying to build something, buddy?
I mean,
forever. Forever.
Okay, but at one point with Derek Carr, it looked like it was trending in a similar direction. And then it didn't work, and you had to kind of reset from there, and they're still resetting. Why not just stink for one more year and then wait out this upcoming quarterback class that's supposed to be, you know, one of the best we've ever seen?
I don't disagree. I mean, it's not my fault. They had a obvious future Hall of Famer right there on the roster, and they let him walk. But, you know, that's a different discussion. Yeah. All right, real quick. We got another minute or two left with the hating ass one here on the show. Clemson needs Louisville to drop a game, and they need Duke to drop a game. Louisville's got a couple of good, not great, but good teams. Duke has got to go to Chapel Hill to wrap up their season. Is there any chance or possibility that North Carolina could knock off Duke in the season finale and help the Clemson Tigers carry the number one overall seed into the ACC tournament?
It's possible. UNC's done some things to change up their lineup and change up the rotation that has been extremely beneficial to them, right? And in this rivalry, if it's proven anything, is that anything can happen on any certain day. A lot less talented North Carolina teams have beaten some insane Duke teams. Some bad Duke teams have beaten some crazy, very talented North Carolina teams. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen in North Carolina, where it's RJ Davis's last game, where he's going to find a shot very, very quickly. Elliott Cato knocks down some shots. Maybe even the freshman Ian Jackson and Powell, who have been exceptional players for UNC, had big games in that one in Chapel Hill. I think it's very much possible that UNC is going to be in that game. When that line comes out, whatever it is next week, you bet your ass I'm going to bet UNC to cover, because they're going to come out fighting. They're going to come out pissed off. Hubert Davis, after he gets his butt kicked by Duke, tends to bounce back really well. Now, does that deserve a contract extension to 2030? I would argue no. I would argue absolutely not. But what do I know? I'm 26 years old with a freezing apartment right now that is making me going to wear about 4 layers all day.
I'm 26 years old. Okay, bud. We get it. We get it. By the way, Texter just wrote in and said, just wanted to point out to you guys on the stream, my 10-year-old walked in when you guys were saying birthday wishes. She turned and said, happy birthday, Rob. Is he cold? I said, who? Rob? Why? She said, because he has a beanie on. So a 10-year-old Mario looks 40.
Okay, that hurt a little bit.
Good.
That hurt a little bit.
Good.
Okay, also, I bet you said checks in the mail.
Now, here's the thing, Mario. The 10-year-old looked at the three of us there and thought you were the star of the show, so you had to be Rob Brown. I mean, you can look at it that way.
Oh! Counter! Like Israel Adesanya right now with my counters.
First off, that was Lonzo's counter, not yours. Stop taking credit.
Same team. We're a tag team. I don't know if you watched
it. Definitely same team, for sure.
Yeah.
It's the world, the world against Rod.
Yeah, we're like Shawn Michaels and give me a second.
Yep,
Triple
we will.
H. Yep.
Okay, that works.
I'm real mad. I'm real mad you got that right. Yeah. I'm real mad I got that right. Ladies and gentlemen, every Thursday at 9 o'clock, we are joined by Dollar Store Justin Bieber, hating ass Mario Heron from the BetMGM Tonight Network. You can, BetMGM Tonight and the BetMGM Network. You can hear him on BetMGM Tonight from 7 till 11 p.m. every single weeknight, a show that I will host along with Brad Evans next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I want you to know, after today, I am coming to wreck your house next week, bud.
Well, it's an apartment. So just keep that.
Metaphor, your radio show, Mario. It's a metaphor.
Yeah. Wow, getting destroyed.
God, it's a metaphor.
Also, Walmart Justin Bieber is like an Indianapolis 10, a DC 9.
I need you to know that's saying less about you than you think it is, bud.
That's fine.
Okay.
Completely fine.
See you next week, maybe?
I'll get you Sydney Sweeney's number, by the way. I'll do that. I'll do that for you. I got you covered.
Appreciate it.
Who's Sydney Sweeney?
Dude, I've seen her. Yeah, she's been in a bunch of movies.
Paul Skeens? She's not dating Paul Skeens. It's Livy Dunn, the gymnast from LSU.
No way.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
God.
My bad. That's my bad. I ain't gonna lie to you. That's on me. I got that confused.
Goodbye, Mario.
Hey, Sydney. Yeah, Sydney's Euphoria.
26. I'm 26, you guys. I'm cool. I got a beanie on. I'm 26. See you next week, maybe. We'll see. Mario here at BetMGM tonight. You can hear him tonight from 7 to 11. I'm 100% clipping that and sending it to Ryan Horvat and Brad Evans. Fight Club up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where we play hurt, because that's what we do. You rub some dirt on, you get back in the game, you do what you do, and win awards and trophies and stuff. Also, we have both officially changed our name to Saints, because, you change your name to Saints, and then you prove another company wrong about how good you really are.
Robbie Saints! Zoe Saints!
Why not? Why not? Before we get to Elimination Chamber... So Ricky Saints, he's just been sitting around, just ain't been doing anything. Couldn't find anything for him to do. Wasn't good enough to be in the ring, apparently. Got that one wrong, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you the truth real quick. I haven't watched AEW in like 3 weeks, and not only have I not watched it, I have basically been keeping up with that company via social media clips. And not much else. Let me tell you where I'm at. I think Kayla Cameron's going to be an absolute star, but the fact is the best thing that show has going for it right now is Harley. A puppet. I mean, Harley. The best thing that show has going for it is a ventriloquist right now. And don't get me wrong, there's room for that in wrestling. I'm team comedic wrestling. That is why friend of the show, R-Truth, remains the greatest. He got over, for the very first time in his career, Louisiana Night last week. Biggest megastar ever out of New Orleans, Louisiana, Louisiana Night. I'm a huge fan. But the biggest thing that show has going for it, like even Jon Moxley, a guy that Zoe and I both are big fans of, like even the Death Riders concept right now is just like, what are we doing here? Like, what's our goal here? I don't have one.
Yeah. I'd rather still be seeing Moxley the Mountie.
Yeah.
At least that was somewhat entertaining.
That was hilarious. But like genuinely, What are we doing here? What's our goal here?
So I think one of the best things going on in wrestling right now is not only bringing in some ex-AEW guys to show how you can develop them, which is definitely a slap in the face to that company, but also the NXT TNA crossover. It's making me watch TNA, which I did not do for a very long time until Joe Hendry came along. And then I would just watch Joe Hendry matches. Now, you never know who's going to show up on either show. And it's I think it's very entertaining. And I'm looking forward to the next PLE, which I think is next week for NXT. There's going to be a bunch of TNA people on there defending belts and stuff. It's looking really good.
It does. I think what NXT is doing right now, what NXTNA is doing right now is... you know what it is? It's what wrestling should be, but done as a developmental project. If they ran the main roster the way that they run NXT right now, it might be the greatest wrestling promotion of all time, genuinely. But yes, the crowd the other night that was chanting Tony fumbled was spot on correct. And that's just somebody who, again, I hope not. I hope this doesn't get us in too much trouble. I want AEW to be good. I want it to be great. Competition breeds excellence. I want another promotion that has me going out of my way to watch it. I want to get to a point where at the end of the week, I have to make a decision about what order I'm watching what shows from what production company. And right now, there's not one.
I think you can make an argument that WWE has reached the heights that they have right now because suddenly they had some competition. I mean, not on the same level, but had the potential to be up there and actually be competition. And that helped them up the game. And, you know, some old man got forced out. That also had a lot to do with it.
A lot.
Yeah. All right.
Most.
Elimination Chamber coming up Saturday. A couple matches aside from Elimination Chamber, Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn in an unsanctioned match. Hopefully they don't kill each other. They've done this sort of thing before. And is this the longest friend feud of all time?
It is. And the reason why is because we've seen it 15 times and I want to see it 17.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm not interested
in it. It's incredible. These two guys, I mean it. These two guys are what wrestling is meant to be. Like the way that they have told a story, there have been more face turns and heel turns and backstabs and assists and everything else than ever before. And they've been so good. You can go back and watch some of the old death matches when they were Kevin Steen and El Generico. I have never said holy bleep as many times watching wrestling as when these guys were getting after it. Now, the only thing I would ask, great one, is they've made it unsanctioned, which kind of sets you up for that. Will they let them go full Ring of Honor, Steen v. Generico, old school, breaking each other as people match? Or do we get a WWE-style unsanctioned match where it's like, yeah, there's a couple of extra bumps in there, but it's pretty much just a match?
Because it's them, I think they let them go.
They have to, right?
Because they've done this quite a few times, and they've shown they could do it successfully without too much damage. You know, there's going to be some damage, but without too much. All right, another match that's not Elimination Chamber, which I don't know why it's on there, but it is. Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratton versus Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. I mean, why is this on a PLE?
Because they're in Toronto, and you got to get Trish Stratus on
the
card.
Okay, all right, I guess that makes sense.
That's why. It's the only reason. You get Tiffy time on the card. You don't have to do anything extra with it. You don't have to put a belt on the line. You get Nia on the card. She is, you know, your dominant monster right now. And if you're in Toronto, Canada, you got to put Trish Stratus in the ring. And I'll say this. The last two times Trish has been in the ring, I'm like, maybe just make her Tiffy time's valet for a few minutes or something. Like, give her a reason to be on camera. But, like, I love you, Trish. You are obviously one of the women that was in that Rob's Becoming a Man era. I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Trish Stratus. She does not need to be in the ring trying to go anymore.
Agreed. And also, I just want to say, Candice LeRae is the perfect hanger-on type person to find someone to hang on. I think she plays that role really good.
I do too.
Whether you like her or not, she's the perfect person to put in that position.
I don't disagree. I agree with you. I agree with the concept.
She's a good worker. She doesn't really need a whole lot.
She's safe. She's fine. She's not going to do anything that electrifies you. She's never going to win a crowd over on her own. I think that's the only issue I have is, like, there's never a spot where you're going to get that great Candice LeRae face moment where she's going to turn and everybody's going to be on board. She's just a good generic, we need somebody to go up there and get beat up on behalf of the face or heel character.
All right. Will Cody give his soul away to The Rock?
No.
I mean, what's the point?
No. You're okay. So let's talk about the real root of the problem with this story. Rock had more face turns in one segment than the Big Show's had in his whole career, right? Like, he had more. It was the goosebumps and the finally, and everybody's like excited, and then like one sentence later he's like, shut up before I slap the syphilis off of your mouth. And it's like, oh, you're a bad guy again then. And he's like, you know, me and Cody, we're actually buddies and I'm so proud of him. It's like, face turn. And then he turns around and he's like, but I want your soul. And it's like, oh, heel turn. I don't understand what that was supposed to be. If you're coming out there to be the new corporate entity, You're coming out there to show that you are the fight. Then be a heel. And I understand why you kind of had to come out in a face role because you were announcing that New Orleans is the site of WrestleMania next year. Fine, I'm good with that. But if you're going to do this whole I want your soul, Cody, thing, you can't do that as like a... And it's not a tweener. Like, even the concept of a tweener. Stone Cold Steve Austin was a tweener his whole career. He was an active face for three sentences, and then a mega heel for three sentences, but then right back to a face and right back to a heel, and he didn't do it in a way that it made any sense. It just didn't make sense.
So where do you put this in the show? And is this more about who he he's not going to sell his soul, but someone already has, and that person's going to come out and help The Rock beat up Cody. I mean, or something like that.
Well, so Cody is going to make his decision. And let's be real. We all know what the decision is. Of course, he's not going to sell his soul to The Rock. The question is, very simply, did we get a Cena heel turn? That's the only option here, right? You're not, again, we've talked about this at the end of the day. In fact, I talked about this Tuesday on BetMGM tonight because I'm very good at my job. Cody sells more merch than anybody else. He is the kid's babyface champion right now, even if he is a boring champion. Respectfully, he is. The best we've gotten was his feud with Kevin Owens in that ladder match, and why? Because he didn't act like a face. He acted like a heel trying to end Kevin Owens. That's what made that match interesting, but he's selling and moving so much merch, and the kids are so on board with him right now, you can't turn him heel, so you have two options, which is either The Rock puts an anti-Cody stable together, which we've already done for like 4 years in a row now, or John Cena turns heel. John Cena finally goes on a heel run that he never has, and he's, I don't know if he's wanted to or not, but he goes on a heel run to get number 17. In which case,
he's already set it up. If that was, I mean, with that press conference, kind of going corporate in the press conference, didn't really think about that, made it about himself, which he hasn't really done.
Yep.
I kind of hope that happens. That would be kind of cool. All right, let's get to the matches. Women's Elimination Chamber, Liv Morgan versus Bianca Belair versus Alexa Bliss versus Bayley versus Naomi versus Roxanne Perez. Who you got? I can't. She's just so annoying. I'm so Jordan Grace. I'm glad she nearly knocked her head off.
By the way, Jordan Grace is going to be an absolute megastar, right? Like, she's going to be an absolute legend for a long time. She is. There's just nothing negative about her. On the women's side, I have gone back and forth a lot of different times about this. I think it's going to be Bianca. I think it's going to be Bianca Belair. You've got the Naomi and Jade Cargill storyline that is still floating around out there. You can obviously put them back into the tag picture if you want to create some weirdness there. Bianca can go right back into the main event picture if you want. I think they kind of cooled them off a little bit, both to bring some heat when Jade Cargill returns, A, and B, to allow Bianca, because apparently her and Montez are getting divorced behind the scenes in real life. So I think you gave her some time to like go handle her business on that end of it, especially since they both still work in the same place. But I think you're going to go ahead and see her full throttle back up because everybody else has gotten there. You know, Nia Jax has got Alexa Bliss coming. Roxanne's got whoever they want to line her up against. Charlotte and Rhea can go at it, whatever. You need something to do with Bianca and setting her up for her versus Naomi versus Jay moving forward. But you got to put a rocket on her to make that happen.
Okay,
so I'm going Belair.
I have a comment on that. But before I do, Keith on the stream says Bliss brings the title to
subscribe.
Wyatt,
let's do it.
Six.
Let's
who we it. Haven't seen in a while because of injury.
I'm ready for my moment of bliss.
All right. So I think it's going to be along those lines. I think Naomi's going to win because I think Jay Cargill is going to come out and she's going to do the monster thing and somehow get inside the chamber and take out Bianca for Bianca being the one that injured her.
No. Bianca absolutely wasn't the one who injured her. Bianca was in the ring when she got injured.
We don't know when they discovered the body.
The body. She was. They call
she could have been. She could have been laying back there for at least 20.
Somebody
minutes,
get
30
Jeff
minutes.
Goldblum in here. There's been a murder.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't think it's anybody but Naomi who laid out Jade Cargill, which is why I think she comes back and gets Naomi, and that's another part of the reason I'm picking Bianca.
All right, I'm also going with Bianca. By the way, that thing that I said that I would love to see happen, I don't think it's going to happen. I think what you said is going to happen. It's going to happen. Men's Elimination Chamber, John Cena. I'm sorry, John Cena.
John Cena
versus CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre versus Logan Paul versus Damian Priest, friend of the show, Damian Priest, and Seth Rollins. A lot of people thinking that Damian Priest doesn't even wrestle because The Rock takes a spot or takes someone's spot. You're going to get mad at me. I think Logan Paul wins the Elimination
Chamber. Not a chance in hell. There's no reason for it. I will also.
He's always mad at me, so I don't care.
I'm not mad at you.
I think Logan Paul wins.
There's negative chance that Logan Paul. I think they understand to some degree what Logan Paul is, which is a guy you can throw in there because the YouTube hits are monumental. They got like 50 million hits every time he goes on TV.
He's already had a championship match. He's already held a championship.
I don't disagree. And I think, considering it was very negatively received, whether you like it or not, the YouTube hits are worth something, but how do you get the most YouTube hits out of Logan Paul? You just let him be the body that gets bagged throughout this match. I think it's going to be just like it was in the Rumble. Everybody's beating up on Logan Paul. There's only two names that win this thing. It's either going to be John Cena or CM Punk. And there's a whole story with the whole concept of Punk because he's got the Heyman favor, and there's a lot of people that believe that Punk gets himself added via Paul Heyman into the title picture at Mania, and it becomes a triple threat. I don't know about all that. Here's all I know. I don't let the gambling odds impact what I'm going to pick on this show. John Cena is minus 1,500 to win this match. The next closest is CM Punk at 3-1. You understand the difference there? That's like the Chiefs versus DePaul football. 1,300 or 1,500 to 1 to plus 300. John Cena is winning this Elimination Chamber. Question mark is, does he win it with heel tactics in turn, or do they save that for Mania, or are they going to give us a genuine face-via-face main event?
Also seen a lot about corporate CM Punk.
Also that?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, how great of a character turn is it if CM Punk becomes a corporate figure?
Not really. Not really that much of a turn.
That was literally, being anti that was 40 years of his character.
The pipe bomb was written by somebody else.
A wrestling promo was scripted? Stop it. No way. 1 segment left, back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I think it's worth the conversation, even if nobody else does. Hooters is going into bankruptcy. I can tell you why. It's really not that complicated. And I say this with all due love and respect to a restaurant that I was in a lot when I was growing up. All right? My old man took me to Hooters when I was a kid. I kept going to Hooters when I became an adult. And I will tell you why. To the disbelief of many of the ladies, including my mother out there, I can tell you why. Because their wings used to slap. Because they used to genuinely have the best wings in the game.
Only been there a couple of times, and it was for remotes. But the wings were really good.
The wings used to slap. They used to be fantastic. And about 10 years ago or so, they changed them. And I don't know why. I got guesses. I don't know that any of them are more or less correct than any of the others. My guess is because back in the day when I used to go to Hooters, and I can say this with all sincerity, I scout's honor, I used to go to Hooters for wings. I didn't care about the girls. I used to go to Hooters for the wings. The wings were genuinely delicious. And then,
so the girls didn't add to it at all?
No, I mean, I can tell you, scout's honor.
Okay.
I went to Hooters for the wings. Okay? Just like I will go, there's a dive bar around the corner from my house that has spectacular wings. And I go there for the wings. And the people who work there, they ain't Hooters girls. I don't care. I'm a fat guy. I go to places for the food. Okay? Or the beer, or the drinks, or the cocktails, or whatever they do. If they do a thing, and they do it exceptionally well, I will go there for that, other circumstances pending. Hooters used to have, I mean it, the best wings in the game. And about a decade ago, they changed them. My theory is, because back in the day, they used to bread the wings when you ordered them, fry the wings when they ordered. When they brought them out, you could still see the oil bubbling on the wings because they just pulled those wings up out of the fryer. I used to have back in the day a friend who literally worked at Hooters as a wing guy, as a wing chef or whatever you call him. And I used to be.
How you doing? I'm a wing guy.
This is also true. That was because for about 4 years when I lived down in Destin, I did a show from 7 till 11 p.m. called The Hooters Sports Show with Rob Brown. I did these shows one day a week, every week, at Hooters across the Florida Panhandle.
It's awesome that we both have been sponsored by Hooters before.
Straight up. It's my favorite show I've ever done. Because this may shock you, Hooters wanted, like, authentic, unless the FCC says no, we want you to be just unbridled Rob Brown. Like, the chaos on this show is energetic because it's a morning show. The chaos on that show was a different level, okay? It used to be sponsored. I used to love it. And I would go there, and I would just absolutely just nuke some wings, okay? And then about 10 years ago, about the time I was doing that show, they changed the wings. My guess has been and remains because it was expensive and time-consuming to send the chicken wings to the restaurant to then have somebody in the restaurant dip and bread and fry the wings to order. And I suspect that now they just send pre-cooked wings to the Hooters and all they got to do is either like flash fry them or heat them up or whatever. But the quality in the wings dropped dramatically. And what was the common misconception, as UNC Chris just texted the show at 844-326-3663 and said, "Right, Rob, and I read Playboy for the articles, LOL." Scout's honor, okay? I went to Hooters for the wings. They were the best I could get. And then they changed the quality. And while, yes, many fellers went to the Hooters for the girls, for the ladies, that is true. They also went because the wings were good and the beer was cold. And that is a selling point. Having some attractive young ladies bring you the plate full of wings is another story. Like, yes, that is an added benefit. But I don't go to a place or do a thing for the added benefits. I do it for the thing. If I go to your restaurant and your restaurant sucks and the service is bad, but you give me the best wings I've ever had, I will come back to your dingy-ass watering hole with your mean waiter if the wings slap. Hooters wings used to genuinely slap, and then they decreased the quality of the wing, and now it's like, guys, I got the internet. If I want to see a pretty girl, I got Google at the crib, and I got it on my phone. I don't need to come to Hooters for a pretty girl anymore. I can just look on the internet. Now, if you have wings that slap and there's a pretty girl that talks to me, that's an added benefit. But Hooters ain't going through bankruptcy because, like, millennials don't like attractive women. Yeah, we do. I promise you. I promise you we still do. We don't go anymore because, A, you dropped the quality of the wing, but you didn't drop the price with it. If you would have dropped the price, you'd have probably been cool too. But you're charging me the same amount for an inferior wing. It doesn't matter how gorgeous the girl serving it to me is. If you give me a high-quality wing at a good price point, I'm in. Or if you give me an okay wing and you're going to charge me 20 cents a wing instead of a dollar, I'm in. But you didn't. You cut both out. This isn't a mystery that we need to spend hours solving. Make the wings go back to what they were or drop the price down to meet them, and we're right back in.
By the way, last week when this story broke, I was driving down a road where there was a Hooters, and it looked pretty busy to me. I mean,
some of them are still busy.
Yeah.
There are absolutely still dudes out there that are going to go to the Hooters for the attention from an attractive waitress. Ain't no doubt about it. But it's not booming like it used to be because there has not been in a decade a night where I've gone, I want wings. It used to be, I want wings. I'm going to the Hooters. I will drive past some other wing spots to get to the Hooters. Now it's like, I will drive past the Hooters to get to the other wing spot. And that's not a shot at Hooters because I would love for it to be great again. Make Hooters great again.
Or you just throw the Hooters in your own air fryer. I mean, the wings.
Yeah, I can make my own wings better at the crib now than I can at Hooters. Right. And I used to love Hooters.
The first thing that's axing is sad. It's Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman, rest in peace, Hackman. This is a weird story.
It is weird.
Apparently, him, his wife, and his dog were all found deceased overnight, which leads me to believe that like something that was like carbon monoxide poisoning or something weird happened. At the house. Also, Gene Hackman was like 90-something years old.
He was 95, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not like he was like outside of the range where it was a shock anymore. But with his wife and his dog also passing away, apparently it's going to turn out to be some sort of you know, unnecessary tragedy. Carbon monoxide. Check, people, install and check your carbon monoxide detectors. I can't tell you how important that is, but yes, a very sad story. Gene Hackman, star of the greatest basketball movie of all time, Hoosiers, so, as well as a bunch of other great movies.
Better villain or better good guy?
Yes. But better villain.
Yeah,
better
he's
villain.
Definitely a better
Without
villain.
Without a doubt. Better villain.
Lex Luthor in the original Superman and Lil' Bill.
Gene Hackman was a great villain. Just a great actor. The fact that he could be a face or a heel, but was a better heel.
Also coached both basketball and football.
Yeah.
That's how good he was.
I'm not a bit, like, Any Given Sunday's a good movie.
No, I'm talking about, Replacements.
Replacements, that's what I meant. Replacements is a good movie. It's not on my Mount Rushmore of football movies, but it is very good. Hackman was very good at it.
Pain heals, chicks dig scars, glory lasts forever. That's Keanu, man. All right, the next thing that's texting is Taylor Swift.
Tay-Tay trending. I do not know why. I'm going to assume there is another, like, I saw that somehow she is now connected to the Blake Lively-Ryan Reynolds drama. Like, she had some interaction with the dude who is at the center of all this, and Blake Lively, it's been dragged out basically that she was making up a bunch of stuff, and then Ryan, apparently, which, I'm going to be real, if we lose Ryan Reynolds from the nice guys department, it's going to be real upsetting for me.
I don't think he was ever really a nice guy.
Well,
I think
at least
that was
from
more the act part.
Yes, at least but, allowed us to believe that he was in the good guy department will be heartbreaking.
The reason why it's accent is because Travis Kelce has made his way through the pain of the loss of the Super Bowl by listening to Taylor Swift songs.
I mean, me too. Me too. I'm just going to tell you right now, there's nothing that soothes the heartbreak and ache of one Rob Brown than listening to a mid-30s woman sing about her exes, and I'm not even joking.
All right.
Tay-Tay's therapeutic.
All right, and finally, this is going to, people are probably going to get mad that I'm throwing this on here, because, but I have an angle. Epstein is exing. And here's the reason why, before you say anything, what if there are sports people on this list? They talk about entertainers. No one talks about sports people. Sports people have a lot of disposable income. What if when this list comes out, we find out like some famous basketball players and football players are on the list?
So two things. Number one, I don't for a second believe this list has ever seen the light of day. Number two, if it does see the light of day, it is going to be heavily redacted. Okay? It just is, because we know that there are people in charge of letting out the list who are going to be on the list. We're not getting the full entire list.
We don't know that for sure, but we can speculate.
We can speculate by looking at pictures of them hanging out together, but that's a different story for a different show. So instead, I'll simply say, bring it all to light, and let's go get every one of the sun guns. I don't care who they are. I don't care if I like them. I don't care if I don't. Pitchforks and torches have never been more justified. If you're on the list, you gonna get got. That's all it should be. Have a great rest of your Thursday, everybody here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. We do it all over again, but probably better. Maybe we'll see if I don't get pink slipped after this show. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Have a great rest of your day. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Later. I don't have any sounds up. I forgot. Bye.